Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Good afternoon and a warm welcome to another edition of the BCCI's Let's Talk Business, where we put the spotlight on development shaping our business's landscape. Today, we take a closer look at the forces shaping Barbados's economy and the strategies that can drive sustainable growth. This edition turns the spotlight on reindustrialization and the future of Barbados's exports. For decades, the emphasis has often been on trade and market access, but the truth is that without a strong base of production and manufacturing, Barbados risks being limited in what it can sell to the world. Reindustrialization is not simply about reopening factories. It is about rebuilding the capacity to make, innovate, and create at a level that can meet both local demand and the demands of the global marketplace. The conversation around building capacity export growth is timely. Global trade has become more competitive, and markets demand not only higher volumes, but also quality, consistency, and value-added products. For Barbados, this means rethinking its industrial base, investing in new skills, technologies, and processes, and creating an environment where businesses can produce more and at a standard that allows them to succeed internationally. It also requires fostering an entrepreneurial culture that is focused on production, not just distribution. Ultimately, the future of Barbados's exports depends on our ability to make more in order to export more. Reindustrialization presents an opportunity to diversify the economy, create jobs, and increase foreign exchange earnings. But it also raises critical questions on how Barbados can overcome existing challenges, from high input costs to limited economies of scale, and position itself as a serious competitor in international trade. To guide us through this discussion, we're joined by two esteemed guests, Mr. Mark Hill, CEO of Export Barbados. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Mr. Lalu Vaswani, Chairman of the BCCI's Customs and Trade Facilitation Committee.
Thank you so much.
And I am, of course, your host, Christo J. Paul. Now, let's begin our discussion with you, Mark, as it relates to reindustrializing for growth, building Barbados's export capacity. Now, you have spoken publicly about the need for reindustrialization in Barbados. What do you believe it why do you believe it is so critical at this moment for the future of our export industry?
All right. Thanks to Crystal J. Fundamentally, is I'll break it down in layman terms. Yeah. So imagine you have a household. So think of the economy as a household, and that you have no kitchen in the household, and everything that you're consuming, every meal you're consuming, you have to go to a restaurant outside, or you have to go external to purchase that meal. So effectively, that's what we mean by deindustrialization, meaning that you are not producing anything for yourself, that you're importing not only your inputs, but you're importing also your value add as well, as opposed to having a kitchen at home where there's a home cooked meal, at least occasionally. Now, deindustrialization is classified as when your economy falls below a certain threshold. So for example, Singapore and the other nations, they have a threshold quite recently of 25% of their GDP must come from production, from industry, from industrialization. They just readjusted their laws to say that no less than 20% of their GDP must come from production and output. Well, in Barbados, our scenario is that we are 10% and below in terms of our production and output. So what that looks like in layman terms is that you're only cooking 10% of your meals. So you're barely doing breakfast at home. And everything else that you're consuming, lunch, dinner, you're buying from restaurants outside. So you could appreciate that the impact of that would be to the household, would be that if there's any shocks, for example, restaurants close down, water go off, it means that you can't eat because you're dependent on external sources to feed yourself. Now, when we scale that thinking up at the national level, what it means is that we are only producing 10% of what we're consuming across the board, which is not sustainable, not only for a household, it's not sustainable for a community, it's not sustainable for a nation. We need greater output across the board, and output not in terms of just services, because we're very good at services, we're very good at tourism, we're very good at financial services. The economy has been oriented around that. But when it comes to producing units of output, how much tons of stuff we're producing in terms of product, how much value add we're producing, how much intellectual property we're producing, how much liters of output we're producing, when we do measure those units, we really need to get back into making things once again. And reindustrialization is about really energizing Barbadians to not just see pride in industry as just a motto, pride in industry, but whereby industry becomes a real reflection of who we are as a people. So reindustrialization for Barbados in particular is fundamentally about rebuilding our identity as an industrial people. Yeah.
Yes, that's a very, very good breakdown so that the average person can really understand what this is all about. So what then are the main gaps or weaknesses you see in our current capacity to produce? And how do they impact Barbados' ability to compete internationally?
Yeah, well, I think for a long time, we've been focusing a lot, again, on small businesses and small and micro businesses. Industry is fundamentally about scale. So it's really, how do we start to build back systems and the ecosystem in general for scale, not just small, but also for scale? That's number one. And so when you look at the industrial value chain begins with intellectual property, right? So industrialization begins with intellectual property, and it also begins with an appreciation of standards, ISO standards, good manufacturing standards. So it's IP and standards. Yeah. So we now have to rebuild that into the ecosystem. And it's a skill and an art by itself. Industrialization, because it's skill, is not the same methodologies as when you're building out small and micro enterprises. Yeah. It's a totally different skill set. And so it's about how do we get our intellectual property ecosystem really functioning, because as a manufacturer, you either going to be manufacturing your intellectual property, which you develop, or you're going to go and get a license from an external producer and manufacture on the license contract. So you begin and end with IP, right? And you're manufacturing that on the specific standards, right? So that the globe can import it, so that you can export it, because the globe is importing standards. They don't just import products. Products have to meet certain good manufacturing standards. If it is food, if it's pharmaceuticals, if it is clothing, there's a standard you have to meet. So we now got to get people back into standards. And we're working close with Barbados National Standards Institute. They're now part of our core ministry, MISS, under Minister Jonathan Reed. We're working now with European Union to get our IP sandbox really strengthened as we do business in and through Europe and through the UK and America and Canada. And also to Barbados just launched, from a tax perspective, a new regulatory framework called the Patent Box, which allows taxes to be around 4.5% for persons who are manufacturing IP in Barbados. So if you bring your IP to Barbados or you generate indigenous IP, the tax law that you fall under based on that nexus is within that framework of 4.5% as opposed to 9% or 15% at the global tax rate. So industrialization is happening at a number of levels from a regulatory standpoint. But the other thing that's critical for industrialization is talent. We have to develop both indigenous and attract international talent, scientific talent. We are pivoting away from what we call the traditional light industries, so fashion, furniture, and basic foods, and moving up the value chain to higher, more scientific-based industrialization. And what that means is that you need to get more high-skilled talent in the island. So hence, government is about to launch the 100,000 citizens, high-skilled persons being able to get citizenship into Barbados. Also, too, we just have the free movement of CARICOM nationals in Vincent, Dominica, and Belize. So we're hoping that within this, along with Indigenous, that we can get the type of scientific talent that can help us to not just meet the standards and certifications from a scientific standpoint, but also to do research development and to continue to generate new research and development at IP. So those are the key building blocks. The tools you need in this day and age, you need artificial intelligence, you need robotics, you need automation, and the skill sets to deliver on that. The logistics part of it, in terms of the supply chain, you have to know how to do your procurement around the supply chain so your inputs are low. And you can, because once you scale, the price should come down. Once Barbados start to scale, we should, once we industrialize, see a reduction in the cost of living to Barbadians because we're producing at bulk and for the export market. So there's tremendous surplus. So without industrialization, we're really dealing with an uphill battle as far as getting costs down and making it a lot easier for Barbadians. So what the government is currently doing is saying we're committed to driving down the costs through a commitment to increasing our capacity to generate output, output, no fluff, no folly, real units that you can count, substantive substance output at scale.
Good. No. What you're saying, it sounds really good. And we usually allude this, or some people allude this, to developed countries, and would even argue that Barbados is too small to think about large scale industrialization. How would you respond to these individuals, and what unique opportunities exist for us to reindustrialize in a way that fits our size and resources?
Well, what I would say is, if you got a house in Sandy Lane with 12 bedrooms, you still have a kitchen. And if you got a house in Chapman Lane with one bedroom, you still have a kitchen. So the capacity to produce has nothing to do with your size.
Okay.
It is just your responsibility towards sound economic development. Yeah. So fundamentally, we currently launched and reposition ourselves to be the green industrialization gateway of the Atlantic. We call it GIGA. And under that GIGA, we have this saying, we're small island, big impact. So, you know, a small kitchen can produce food and feed a whole community. I grew up in a community where my grandmother not only used to cook for our household, but she fed so many people throughout the community. Mm-hmm. And that is equivalent to export. So so it's a point, it's a matter of focus and vision. Mm. And being able to think big beyond just your kitchen and see that you can supply and meet the needs of others around you and not just your own personal needs.
Mm. That's so good. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, now, Mr. Vaswani, we head to you as we are looking now at removing barriers, the trade facilitation and export growth. If Barbados is to rebuild its productive base and expand exports, as Mark was just talking about, efficient trade systems are essential. What are the main obstacles you see in our customs processes that businesses struggle with today?
Frankly, I think that with the drive by the government through the Customs and Excise Department and the former controller, Mr. Holder, who is now retired, there has been a tremendous drive, and also Minister Lisa Cummings and others, the drive to increase efficiency in our processes. A tremendous amount of progress has been made in partnership with the Chamber of Commerce. A tremendous amount of advance has been made in removing a lot of these obstacles. The Barbados port tells you how much throughput they are getting, almost 100% more than they were getting a few months ago, just by synthesizing all these processes that are improving. So the question is this: is it really that the processes now? What exactly is the main obstacle? I remember in the early 70s, their garment manufacturing was very big in Barbados. They had about 10,000 persons employed in that area. And there was a manufacturer called Mr. Samson Lau, who was very good at T-shirts. And you couldn't, there were a lot of problems getting to Trinidad, getting licenses, or if you get a license, you don't get paid. You need an EC0 form. And the basic point Mr. Lau made, and I think it's still valid today, don't worry about these things. Give me the market, and we know how to get it done. That is what entrepreneurial skill is, the creativity, how to make, to use Mr. Hill's analogy, how to make that kitchen effective and efficient. The entrepreneur needs that. What I see is that from then to now, going back 50 years, coming now, we are in many new paradigms, which many of which Mr. Hill has pointed out, and they must be commended for. It's very exceptional to see that. I think that what is required is really, before you do anything in terms of industrialization or trying to create an industrial base, you have to know your markets. What is it that is needed, or what is a unique skill set that we have that we can provide a value to a third party? It doesn't matter if you're competing. In fact, it makes it better if you're competing, because you work a little harder to hone your skills to succeed. And I would say, number one, which are the markets are we seeking to go? What are the needs of those markets? What are the potential skill sets of the persons here to fill that market? And how can government provide, like they used to do many years ago, and probably still do, a cluster arrangement? Because there is this limitation of capital among many small and medium-sized businesses, even large ones, because the idea is that some of this investment takes a long time to recoup, so that government may be able to put up the capital in a way that they can create a bridge to get to those markets. And I'm not suggesting they do this for free. Whatever value you're exporting, a percentage of that could go to recoup some of the cost. So it is not about freeness, but about creating a channel. Going back into the 1980s, there was no such thing as the ABC Highway. The then Prime Minister, Mr. Adams, created something called the Industrial Access Highway. And that is why we have all these roads, and nobody could understand, why do we need it? But now, in the 21st century, we realize that it's not even enough, because at times the capacity has been utilized. So in the same way, we need that type of vision to know which markets we are going to. What can we do? Mr. Hill mentioned 4.5% if you bring your intellectual property. The truth is, if we are in a developmental stage, you could afford to give duty-free if all your production is going, or for all the value of your production that's going for export. So you could afford to do that, because a company that's not making money, whether you charge him 4.5% or 45%, the revenue you generate is very minimal. Okay? So the idea is, let it be that you are encouraging for a developmental purpose. The parameters are set, what is expected, what you have to bring to the table, and develop that. But there has to be a full-time commitment. I agree, we used to do furniture, we used to do garments. And the thing to realize is, our costs have always been high relative to our neighbors. That will not change.
Yes.
But what we have to do is to focus on our design element. And with design element, you can get value for what you're doing, like what Rihanna is doing. It's basically intellectual property and design, and it has a global value. So if we can develop that set, and also I support what Mr. Hill is saying, invite the skill sets. If you want to go to what you call it, the F1 Formula race, you can't go there with a bicycle. You might have the newest bicycle, but the bicycle can't work. You need the latest technology to compete globally. But it has to be structured and it has to have a pathway and measured, and you measure the results. So as the government, in conjunction with the private sector, invests, we can achieve the returns. So I would say the conversation is much more than processes. Processes is like removing the traffic jam going to the airport. But when you get to the airport, where are you going to go? Where are your markets?
Yes. All right. Thank you so much for that breakdown. Well, let's go back to even the analogy that Mr. Hill used earlier with the smaller kitchen versus a kitchen in Sandy Lane. For smaller businesses trying to scale up production for export, navigating complex trade requirements can really be overwhelming. What kinds of reforms or supports could make it easier for them to participate in global trade?
I would say that, government has all access to the technical resources, and I don't like to rely only on government. The government should not just be the driver. The private sector must be the driver, but it's best to do it hand in hand with the government so we get the best synergies. I give you an example to use the same kitchen analogy. We have many farmers here, but if they were to get an order for one container of crop X, 140-foot container, would they be able to do it? Probably not. And this is where the whole process of where the government has been focusing with the private sector to join with Guyana, Suriname, and other countries that are interested to bring the items that they are voluminous supply in those countries, such as food and agriculture, but bring them to Barbados and create the processing hub so we can process it, and we have all the volume of raw materials in the form of the vegetables or the fruits, and we package it to the standards of ISO and so forth so it can be exported to Europe and other places. That is the approach I know that government is working. I'm not sure where they are with that, but that is definitely the way to go, because we are very good. We have a lot of land that can be used for agriculture, and we don't also have to duplicate what Guyana may be doing, but we can provide the logistic base because Barbados is very well placed logistically to create that hub where we can export to other countries and collate it here. And they would be needing our local farmers to help in this production hub going forward. And that's just to use one example. There are other products that we could do that way, but I know food security is a critical matter for CARICOM. They're trying to reduce the level we import as a region from overseas, and also to be able to leverage what we have to be able to build exports and earn in foreign exchange.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, one final question for you, Mr. Vaswani, even as I cannot believe the time has gone so quickly, even as we wrap up this half-hour segment. Now, from the BCCI perspective, what partnerships or policy changes should Barbados be prioritizing to ensure that any growth in manufacturing is matched by smooth access to export markets?
I think the only thing that is required is to have a vision and a pathway to what we are achieving with the vision collectively with in partnership with the members of the BCCI who have businesses and export to many, many countries, and work out that within a context of what is achievable over a period of 1 to 5 years. And do so and formalize it and see what is needed. What we need is to have the foundation. We already have the foundation. We need the infrastructure and we already have the partners. Bring the partners together and let the private sector do what it does best, which is trade and business facilitation, and the government to support in any way needed, if capital is needed, if IP is needed, if work permits are needed to bring in qualified people. Those are things. But what we need is a formal relationship between the Chamber of Commerce and industry and the government agencies, create that roadmap and create deliverables for which we expect to achieve. And as I said, the focus should be more on achieving the framework, how we are going to get there, and achieving that more so than whether we give a 50% discount on the corporation tax. I get the gist, but the point is to get it set up to make it work is more important, and that is where we need to go. Because any amount that is not used to pay corporation tax should be reinvested in the business to have better generation of capital, turnover of capital.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Now, as we close, Mr. Hill, I just want to ask you this, even as we look to strategies for success and looking towards the future. Now, we've spoken about the challenges of limited capacity and the need to produce more. Looking ahead, what practical steps should Barbados take right now to start strengthening its manufacturing and export base?
Yeah, now, number one, I don't think we have a limiting capacity. The only limiting economic factor is talent. I don't think Barbados have a capital problem. We have ample capital in the market, and therefore we have enough capitalization space and capital formation space to drive industrialization. So therefore, I'm not in the school of thinking about limitations. That's why we talk about giga, and that we can be a small island with big impact. Now, what we need to appreciate is that industry is a ecosystem or animal by itself, right? The kitchen is not the bedroom. And if we try to treat the kitchen like the bedroom, we're gonna create problems, yeah? So therefore, one is we need a lot of knowledge around offtake agreements and sales. I hear we talk about, you know, market demand side, thing, but there's more than enough demand for Barbadian products. I've been in this job for 4 years, and I have not come across a single demand problem. Every single problem that we face is a supply problem. We have not been producing enough, which means that we have to retool and retrain to be able to scale. That's number one. Number two, in terms of capital formation and investment across the board, we need to see the private sector put more into industrial capital formation. There's a lot of capital formation in real estate, hotels, private, but we need to see a lot more, in fact, a lot of capital formation going into importing cars. We're selling 500 cars a week. So there's not a capital problem. It's where do we invest? Where are we looking to get our particular returns? And what is our model for wealth creation? How do we diversify our wealth creation portfolio besides just importing stuff and selling it back to the locals? But from a scientific-based industry standpoint, there are so many opportunities there. We have a pipeline of pharmaceutical companies looking to come into Barbados in the short and medium term. So you'll be seeing them. We're building a spaceship up at next to Newton. The demand for space to manufacture stuff in Barbados is off the charts. We are playing catch up right now. So the private sector, there's so many opportunities for the private sector when it comes to cold chain logistics, investment in cold chain storage. We have a shortage of storage on the island. You cannot industrialize based on Joseph's story in the Bible. The key to industrialization is storage. Mm-hmm. You have to build your storage capacity. So when you got 7 years of plenty, you got some place to store for your 77 years of famine. So and the private sector need to recognize that industrialization is not just about making a pants, a shirt, or salt bread. It is about the infrastructure, the logistics, the intellectual property, the innovation, the research development. It's a complete ecosystem that we have to have a really serious conversation around and not just treat it as just business as usual. Yeah, that's my input. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. And Mr. Lalu Vaswani, Chairman of the BCCI's Customs and Trade Facilitation Committee.
Thank you very much also. We extend an invitation to Mr. Hill to meet with the Customs and Trade Facilitation Committee so we can advance this conversation.
And I am Krista J. Paul, and that's it for today's edition of Let's Talk Business with the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry. If you've missed any of today's edition or any past editions, you can log on to our website, starcomnetwork.net, to listen to the podcasts of Let's Talk Business with the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Until next time, you take care. That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.